back with you on The Takeaway. I'm Melissa Harris-Perry, and it's been nearly 2 weeks since Haitian President Jovenel Moïse was assassinated, throwing the island deeper into a political crisis. Just this morning, Claude Joseph, who has been acting as prime minister and the country's interim leader in the wake of the assassination, has said he will step down and hand power over to his challenger. Ariel Henry will now take up the position. Henry had been appointed prime minister just 2 days before Moïse's assassination, but had yet to be sworn in when the president was assassinated. Now, more than 20 people have been arrested in connection with Moïse's assassination, but there is still many more questions and answers about what happened and what the future holds. The slain president is set to be laid to rest this Friday. For more on this, we turn again to Gary Pierre-Pierre, founder and publisher of the Haitian Times. Gary, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Melissa, for having me.
So clearly, this is a very fluid situation. Situation is changing quite rapidly. What do you know about what's happening here?
Claude Joseph was really never the legal or constitutional prime minister. He had been fired. It was clear. And then to make matters worse is that Henri's appointment had been codified into law because it was published in the Daily government newspaper, which is called Le Moniteur or The Monitor. So basically, under Haitian law, once that step is taken, it's legal, it's official. The only thing that was needed to be done was to just have a swearing ceremony, and then Henry would have been prime minister. So when Joseph took over and proclaimed himself still the prime minister, it was not a very smart move. It was rebuffed by everyone, except, of course, the UN representative in Haiti, who, for whatever reason, decided that she was going to legitimize Claude Joseph. But he was never legally the prime minister. And so everybody realized that. And then the core group, as you mentioned, decided, well, absolutely, by law, Henry is the prime minister, so we have to work with him.
Now, say a bit more about what you know about Ariel Henry.
Well, Henry is a former minister of the interior, and he's a respected neurosurgeon. You know, he led the country's health response to the deadly cholera epidemic that Haiti had several years ago. And he's a bureaucrat, a competent one at that. Like I said, a physician. So he brings that to the table. Is he a game changer? No. I mean, I think he's going to be a good caretaker for until elections are held. Now, as you know, elections are supposed to be held in September, but no one, you know, thinks that will happen. The most likely scenario is about a year of provisional rule, and then, you know, stabilize the situation on the ground and bring people to the vote. Because one of the things that we haven't focused on for obvious reason is that there is a rising case of COVID in Haiti. And so we have to deal with that situation as well as the other political economic challenges.
It's such a good point. We so frequently hear in American media these days, oh, back during the pandemic, as though it is over. And not only is it not over in the U.S., but the way that the COVID-19 pandemic continues to impact global politics and politics in Haiti that has so little access to the vaccine is absolutely critical.
Absolutely, because cases have been rising as we speak. The country's health infrastructure is as porous or weak as its other institutions. So we've taken our eyes off that right now, but it's still problematic because Haiti just received about 250,000 shipments of vaccines. That sounds like a lot, but the country has about 11 million people, so it's a small fraction of what's needed. And also they need test kits because they charge, in Haiti, you pay $80 to have a COVID test, to take a COVID test. And so the average person does not make that much money in 6 months, let alone to be able to afford to pay for something like that. And, you know, it's necessary. So perhaps the Biden administration should consider sending test kits to Haiti as well, since we have them in abundance right now.
Now, on Sunday, First Lady Moïse returned to Haiti after being treated in Miami for wounds that were suffered during the attack. Was that a surprise? And is that going to play into this political situation at all?
Well, it was a huge surprise because at the time, people thought she was in Miami being treated. And then all of a sudden, we have breaking news. She's back. And yes, indeed, that was a political statement because she came back, had a different look. She cut her hair and was wearing nothing but black, of course, and a symbol of mourning. There was a video circulating on social media and across the internet where she came down very gingerly. But when she got to the then Prime Minister Joseph, she gave him a really stern handshake where she really shook his hand hard. So, the implicit message saying, I'm back and I'm tough. But at the same time, it was just this, basically when she came back, not that she came back, because obviously she wanted to bury her husband. Her return has made many people should be worried because she's an eyewitness to what happened. Mm-hmm. She was there. She knew what happened. So the mystery is no longer that much of a mystery because, you know, if she's interviewed by the FBI, she will tell them her version of event or the version of event because, you know, she knew who came into the room, who did what. And so a lot of details will be coming out, hopefully, this week or so.
Now, on exactly that topic, what do we know right now about the suspects accused in the assassination?
Again, we're not sure. Personally, I'm deeply skeptical of the version, the official version that's been out there. Most of them raise more question than the answer. So, like I said, hopefully we'll have a better idea of what happened. And then those responsible will face justice.
Now, one of those sort of big questions is why no one else was injured. And so the former head of the president's security was placed in detention. What do we know about his potential involvement?
Well, obviously, if you're the head of the security and the asset that you're protecting is dead, then, you know, you have to answer a lot of questions. And the thing about this is that no one was shot or injured or even got a scratch. That's not typical of any security details where the person that you're protecting is dead and then nothing is done. So obviously the first suspect would be someone like that. And then I think they're looking at it. But exactly what his role is, we don't know right now.
Now, last week you wrote a column for the Haitian Times about what you describe as a caste system and a color-based caste system in Haiti. Can you talk about that just a bit and explain how it's connected to what is happening in the current crisis?
Well, the system in Haiti is that the lighter skin, and I would say a white European Haitian, own 90% of the wealth in Haiti. They are oligarchs. Most of them don't even live in Haiti anymore. They have businesses. And then the more important thing is that the industry that they control, they have their own private ports. And that what that means is that, you know, things come in and go without little government supervision. The gang violence that has engulfed Haiti for the last 2 years, you wonder, well, where are the ammunitions coming from? Because Haiti is under a strict limit on the number of arms and ammunition that it can export and import, rather. And so that raises some question into the social situation. And beyond that, Moïse had begun his battle with them to really call them out and end their monopolies, because they have monopolies and no one else can challenge them. Nobody else can challenge them. They have segmented the country, like a mob cartel would devise a territory. So that system has been in place for well over 100 years, where Black Haitians, and I know that sounds like an oxymoron because most Americans think of Haitians as being Black, but the majority of the Haitian people have been suffered under that system. And so I think, now again, Moïse was not any sort of like hero, and he was corrupted. His presidency was contingent upon making deals with the oligarch. But I think at some point he realized that this was too much. These people, and I think he understood the situation, you know, and as a dark-skinned, you know, person from the peasantry, if you will, who are self-made men. And he realized that this was not fair to the overwhelming majority of Haitians. And he took on a fight that ultimately led to his death.
Hmm. Gary Pierre-Pierre is the founder and publisher of the Haitian Times, and I feel like I'm going to need to have him back to talk more about the response to that last question. Gary, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Lisa.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.